Welcome back to another episode of our Lifebeat podcast. I am your host, Danny Earle, and today I am joined by Anna Plimert and a special guest, our PAC director, Emily Kroll. Hello, Anna and Emily.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
We're happy to have them here. We have great news that we are excited to share today, but we do also have some sad news that this is Anna's last time on the podcast. We are going to be going without her as she moves on to a new exciting job opportunity, so she will be missed greatly on the podcast.
Thank you, Danny.
Alrighty, so we will get right into it. As you know, as we've been talking about for months, the election is over. November 5th was the last day of the election. Results are in, and we are extremely pleased with how everything turned out. Emily, would you be able to give a little insight, just a quick overview, and then we'll get into the details just on how the endorsed candidates did here in Michigan?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody, and probably hopefully everybody in the United States, is aware of what the basic gist of what happened on Tuesday, and I mean technically into last evening, early this morning, when Arizona finally finished counting. California is actually going to be counting their local races for the next week. So if you thought Michigan was slow, oh boy, be grateful you don't live in California for many reasons. But as everyone knows, Donald Trump has won his second term in the White House, and he will be inaugurated in January. The agenda that was being pushed by Kamala Harris and the National Democrat Party and the Michigan Democrat Party, that I'm sure everyone on this podcast has heard many times, was they were running on abortion and saying that if pro-life candidates won the election, then abortion rights in the United States were at risk. They were saying that here in Michigan, even though we have Proposal 3, and it was the number one issue of their campaign. And what we saw on Tuesday is voters in Michigan and voters across the country rejected that. They're a lot smarter than Kamala Harris and her people gave them credit for. Voters knew that abortion rights in Michigan were not at risk, and nationally they knew that it was not the case as well. And so we saw at the national level, we saw pro-life candidates do well. We saw, of course, Donald Trump retook the White House. And then here in Michigan, we saw our pro-life candidates flip the state house. And so there is now, again, a pro-life majority in the Michigan State House, which will help us and help Michigan protect those safeguards that we were talking about, parental consent for abortion, protections for taxpayers so that we don't have to pay for other people's elective abortions. And that's really, really good news. And so basically for the next 2 years, until we have another election, yes, I'm already talking about the next election, but for the next 2 years here in Michigan, the agenda and the radical policies pushed by Governor Whitmer and the Democrats in Lansing are going to have a major hurdle in that they can't just ramrod anything they want through the state house.
And no assisted suicide.
Hopefully. We do have a pro-life majority, so that should put a stop to it. There is still a lame duck session, and there is a bill sitting in the Michigan Senate. So we'll see what actions they take on that in the next 2 months. It's unlikely that they would try to do something. Despite what assisted suicide proponents will claim, it's not a super popular policy position. And we just saw, like, the state of West Virginia just had a ballot initiative that said no assisted suicide in West Virginia. That's pretty huge. That's the first state that we've seen do a ballot initiative to prohibit assisted suicide. I mean, here in Michigan, we had one in 1998. There was a ballot initiative that would try to legalize assisted suicide. That obviously failed massively. The no vote was 70%. And then we had a law be passed into state law. But yeah, there's a lot on the horizon. But, you know, every pro-life voter should be celebrating what happened yesterday. And I know I'm celebrating and also sleeping. So we're having a good time.
And It's your birthday today.
Yeah, well, today. So happy birthday to me.
This is also Thursday we are recording this.
Yes, we're recording this on Thursday. So when everyone hears it, it will no longer be my birthday. But yes, that's fine.
Great week. Great week for you.
It's like, it's been good. It's been good. I'm enjoying it.
Good. Good. Yes. Like Emily said, everyone should be giving themselves a big round of applause. Huge congratulations, because without the extensive get out the vote effort that we had, this would not be possible. We fully believe that without everyone going door to door, making phone calls, that this would have been a much harder race to win than what it ended up being. So with your efforts of our 262 endorsements that we had here in Michigan, 87.4% of them won. And in the state house alone, 91% of the endorsed candidates won, which is huge news. Great for our state and great moving forward for the pro-life movement.
Emily, can you talk a little bit about what other states did? I know that there was a handful of states that did have ballot initiatives for abortion. Do you know the results of those?
I do. So there were 10 total states with ballot initiatives, very similar to Proposal 3 that passed here in Michigan. Those were passed in 7 states, and 3 states rejected those proposals. The largest state, and probably the one that people are going to be paying most attention to, was the state of Florida. And really, people are paying attention to Florida because historically it used to be, up until about 2018, the largest swing state in the country. Statewide elections in Florida up until recently had not been decided by more than 2 percentage points in I think it was decades. So this was like the tightest split that you could get. But also, amendments need in the state of Florida 60% of the vote to pass. So the abortion amendment amendment 4 in Florida only got 57 point something percent of the vote, so it failed. But had it been a different state, it would have passed. But that is huge. Florida currently has a 6-week abortion limit. It's the heartbeat law, and that was put into place just last year is when it went into effect. And so it's pretty big that you have such a big state, such a big population, and it chose not to allow unlimited abortion through birth, but stuck with some pretty common sense safeguards and limits.
And I was really excited when I saw that, because up until now, every state that had a ballot initiative to put abortion in their constitution had passed. So it felt like they were on this streak of like, we can take over any state. No, well, not anymore.
No, and it was 3 at the same time, I believe. Now, don't quote me, because I'm not going to remember the other states. I believe South Dakota was one of them that the abortion amendment failed. And then I can't remember the third one. And I probably should know that off the top of my head. But you also have to think, Florida is so amazing because it was the epicenter. There was a lot of money all focusing on Florida, because if Florida falls, then it essentially says, well, no state can stand against this. I mean, Florida's had, if we're speaking just partisan politics, Florida has become kind of a Republican stronghold in for their statewide elections. Ron DeSantis ran away with the last governor's race, and as you've probably seen from the presidential race this time, it wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. And so it being such an epicenter, there was a lot of money from the abortion side pouring into that race. There's a lot of reports of money from overseas pouring into that race as well, or into that ballot initiative. And for it to fail is really a resounding victory. And Governor DeSantis and the pro-life movement in Florida should really be congratulating themselves and celebrating at stopping that. It doesn't mean that they're not going to continue going through other states. It just means that there is now a proven track record of being able to defeat that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to put it out there, a little pat on the back to the state of Michigan, where Michigan, we had the final yes vote for Proposal 3 was 56.66%, which means that in Michigan, a purple state with the governor in 2022 being the cheerleader for abortion, we had more people opposed to the abortion amendment that they passed in Michigan than just occurred in Florida. And so that really is, again, the pro-life movement in Michigan is healthy, it's strong, and as we've seen from the results now, from just the, earlier this week, not giving up, and that you really have to give credit to just the volunteers and the dedicated people in Michigan for, in spite of a setback, you know, we're still going strong and we're not giving up.
Going off of that, did you see any big changes in voter turnout, both in Michigan and around the country? We've talked about how the pro-life vote sometimes struggles to get out there and actually vote. So were there big changes this year in this election, at least compared to the last one?
Well, we're going to be digging through data probably on this election for the next 6 months and really digging into trends and figuring out who did what and who voted where and what issues they were responding to. But in Michigan, we do know we had record turnout. We had 79% of registered voters cast a ballot in this election. It was 5.67 million people. This is bigger turnout than we had in 2020. And so it really is incredible that the thing that Michigan has always had, and many people didn't realize, is Michigan's been considered a purple state for a very long time. But when you look at demographically and what party, we don't have party registration on our voter registration cards like a lot of states do. So it's all kind of a bit of a mystery of which category voters exactly fit into. But as a general rule, there's over a million more conservative leaning voters in Michigan than liberal-leaning voters, but most of the time they just don't vote. So it's really rural communities and deep red areas that tend not to vote, or you've got the conservatives living in, like, Detroit, who, well, why would I vote in Detroit? It's not going to affect the outcome of the election anyway.
Right.
And so it's those low-propensity voters. We saw an uptick, and those were really voters that were being targeted in Michigan. But beyond that, we saw a lot of the voters who kind of had given up. They might have voted in 2016 and then kind of fell off. So 2018, 2020, they just decided not to be there. Those voters also came in very strongly. And so it really was a full-fledged effort, and we saw excellent results and a great response. And we, everyone in the state, should be. I mean, if you're pro-life, you definitely should be celebrating. But I think that even the women who were convinced that abortion was at risk, were convinced that these pro-life people were trying to take away their rights. Hopefully, as a result of this election, those women, if they do decide to get an abortion, those safeguards will be in place for them so that it is safer for them to do so.
So as we move forward in Michigan, like you've touched on, with a still very pro-abortion governor, still a pro-abortion majority in our state Senate, there are things, long-standing safeguards that we have that are at risk. And like you've touched on, parental consent for a minor seeking an abortion or for taxpayer dollars going towards elective abortion. Flipping the House is just one piece. When we look to the future, what looks next for the pro-life movement here in Michigan?
Well, for the next 2 years, we're essentially the roadblock. That flipping the state House is incredible, and it means that they are going to be able to, or not going to be able to, and by they, I mean Governor Whitmer and her friends, are not going to be able to just push through legislation that is detrimental to Michigan women and children and families. So things like in the summer, in the state budget, they put in $5 million for abortion access expansion. It either becomes incredibly difficult for them to hide that in the budget, or they're not going to be able to. Expanding in bipartisan ways postnatal and prenatal care, for women. That's on the table and an excellent thing that we are hoping to be able to do in the next couple of years here. But also the little bit of a warning that I will put out is kind of a warning of what happened earlier when we saw that they fell one vote short of getting rid of our informed consent law, mm-hmm. and how they went to the courts to get that with an injunction. So we lost informed consent in Michigan in the 24-hour waiting period because of a lawsuit. Unfortunately, even though we had massive victories in flipping the state house and at the congressional level, we lost in the Supreme Court races. And so you had two abortion activists were just elected to the Supreme Court. And the pro-abortion majority has expanded there. And so what we're going to see is things like they currently are suing on the taxpayer Medicaid dollars not able to go to abortions in Michigan. So lawsuits like that, where if they're not able to ram things through the legislature, they will go to the courts. We still have to be wary of that and keep our eye out for that. So while right now parental consent for a minor seeking an abortion is protected because of that stopgap of the state house, it doesn't keep them from going to the court. So we just need to be wary. We need to be vigilant. And, you know, in 2 years, we're going to have more Supreme Court elections. We're going to have more elections in a few years and next year for appeals court and circuit court and everything, which is why the nonpartisan section of the ballot is so important. And so we've got a plan for the future and look forward as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's great that we are seeing these victories in legislative ways, but it also shines an importance on the pro-life movement within local communities. I think continuing to promote pregnancy resource centers, letting women know that they have another beautiful choice available to them, and that choice is life, I think is just going to be huge moving forward, as we are hoping that the legislation can move our way. Let's grab the legislation, let's grab our local communities, and just have this huge pro-life movement in Michigan. So the work is not done on our end. It's not done in our communities. There are still hearts and minds that need to be changed, and something that we will continue to speak on and advocate for in the years ahead. But still great to reflect on these victories, because that's huge, huge, great first step. Thank you, everyone, for getting out and getting the vote out. We took on different efforts that we hadn't seen before. There were hundreds of thousands of calls, volunteers going door to door advocating for our pro-life candidates. We are very thrilled with the success that they saw. And again, huge pat on the back for all of you, because it couldn't have been done without you. I think that is all we've got time for today. Thank you, Emily, for joining us, giving us these very positive election updates. We are moving forward into the next week, very happy with how it all turned out. And Anna, thank you for joining us on your last ever podcast episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.